Dr. Jim Eliason stands behind glass at the University of Cincinnati Center for Imaging Research.
So this is the console or control room for the magnetic resonance imaging system. So this is, if you were to get, say, a clinical MRI, this is where the MR technologist would sit and would talk to you and would review the images as they were taking pictures of your brain, in this case.
Soon, he and others will begin recruiting for a study to figure out which parts of the brain light up when potentially violent teens get frustrated. While in the machine and wearing goggles, the teens will play a video game designed to get them annoyed. The MRI will take pictures of the brain while they play. Eliason says researchers don't yet know the brain problem areas when it comes to mental illness.
The hope is that once we know what are the brain areas that produce that are participating in these problem behaviors, maybe we will be able to identify medications that modulate activity in these regions, or identify cognitive or behavioral therapies that can be used to change the way these brain areas respond to frustrating situations.
Lately, police and the public have been thinking a lot about mental illness and violence. Last month, 26 people were killed in Connecticut when Adam Lanza went on a shooting spree. In July, James Holmes walked into an Aurora, Colorado movie theater, killing 12 and injuring 58 others. Cincinnati Children's Hospital psychiatrist Drew Barsman says his research involving the MRI and a separate spit test are not yet ready to be used outside the hospital.
Well, our research hasn't focused on school violence at this point. We've only focused on violence and aggression within the hospital. So we're far from saying that we can use this research to apply it to those types of very rare events.
Hospital violence is a big problem. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says mental health professionals are 7 times more likely to suffer assault-related injuries than the average U.S. worker. Over the years, Barsman has developed a predictive scale. It's used in the Children's Emergency Department. Then later, once the patient is admitted, Barsman collects data on the type, severity, and frequency of their aggression. He has information on 2,500 kids. He says it's most useful on ages 13 to 19. A new test involves using spit to predict aggression. Casey Apple is getting her PhD in epidemiology and helps collect the saliva at Children's Hospital. 3 times during the day, she tells the kids to drool.
I would sometimes have 2 boys at the same time, and they'd have a contest as to see who could fill up the spit to the blind first. It was really cute.
It's then frozen to test the hormone levels. Barsman is looking for testosterone and cortisol in preteen boys.
We didn't expect the scale in that small sample, the scale, to perform as well as it did, but it was almost 100% accurate, even though it shouldn't be.
Apple really liked the willingness of the patients and their parents to participate.
All of them were so excited to spit in a tube or be part of something that wasn't just part of their daily routine. And all the parents were ecstatic to have their kids in the study. Anything that could help figure out what's going on with their kids and to make them better is important.
Barsman will combine the salivary hormone and fMRI test to better understand the underlying path in the brain correlated with aggression and abnormal hormone levels. The goal is a rapid, real-time assessment where hospitals, detention centers, schools, and pediatricians could eventually predict aggressive behavior on the spot and then be able to refer the teen to mental health professionals for the right preventative treatment. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Ann Thompson.